Turn to John chapter 14 this morning. We're continuing in our series on Holy Spirit. I thank God that we are Spirit-led people. Amen. Two people are Spirit-led people. Thank God that we are Spirit-led people. Amen. How many know and realize that God the Holy Spirit is not surprised about anything? Am I the only one that's ever talked to God like he's surprised like I am? God, can you believe this? Believe this mess I've got myself into? Yep. I saw it a long time ago. I tried to tell you not to go that way. We know God is faithful by his Spirit. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for Holy Spirit. I thank you for leading and guiding us. Lord, I thank you that we can't do anything without your guidance. Many times we try to do that, God. Many times we try to be brave and say, God, I got this. Mm-hmm. And Father, for those times, please forgive us because we don't got it. If we had it, we wouldn't need you. But Lord, we need you for our next breath. We confess that we are weak without you. We're lost without you. We're in darkness without you. But with you, God, we have all things pertaining to life and godliness. We have victory like we've sung this morning and declared this morning and prayed this morning. We have the victory because of the presence of your Spirit in our lives. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week we talked about Jesus being aware that he could do nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit. He went, walked 2 days to get to John the Baptist and be baptized in water. How many know he did not need baptized in water for the forgiveness of sin? But on that day, on that encounter that he had, Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove, and the scriptures say it came upon Jesus and remained on him. Never left. And it was that day that Isaiah's prayer was answered. He said, crack the sky, Lord, open the heavens and come down. That was the prophet's prayer. On that day, that prayer was answered. Holy Spirit came and remained, and he's never left the earth. Come on, somebody. And then in the upper room, when the disciples were baptized in the Holy Spirit, he came upon the church. It's recognized as the birthday of the church. God was faithful. But Jesus told his disciples here in John chapter 14, verse 16, he said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Say forever. Forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you. Verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Say all things. All things. And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. What a promise. Everything that we need, Holy Spirit delivers. Come on, someone. Without cost, it's free. Come on, somebody. Better than Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime, you still have to wait a day to get it. Jeremiah says, while we are praying, he hears us. He answers. Even while we are praying, he answers us. His answer is immediate. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And Jesus understood that he was going away. At one point, he turned to his disciples and said, it's expedient for me that I leave. For if I don't leave, I can't send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Jesus had many abilities, but he couldn't be everywhere at once. But through the power of his Spirit, he's everywhere at once. He's in your heart. He's in my heart. He guides me. He guides you. I don't know how he does it. Sometimes I think my problems are worse than anybody else's, and he needs to pay attention to me. Am I the only one?
No.
Flip over to John chapter 15. John 15, one chapter away, in verse 26. Says, but when the Helper comes, whom I sent to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Now, why would the Holy Spirit spend time talking to us about Jesus? Why would he do that? Because Jesus was perfect in every way. Never made a mistake, never had a bad day, didn't know what a bad hair day was. Jesus walked in perfection. And Holy Spirit talks to us about that perfection, that bar, that place where we have the ability and the promise to walk as Jesus walked. I have heroes of the faith, and so do you. I have people that I read their books, I listen to them, I listen to Tay, I listen to tapes, I listen to them. I think they're great people, but every one of those people have had bad days and bad things happen. And Holy Spirit doesn't talk to me about them. Come on, somebody. Holy Spirit will talk to me about Jesus because he's the goal. He's the bullseye. And you know, Jesus has the great ability to have us be victorious, but one thing he'll never do is drop the bar. He doesn't drop the bar and say, okay, I'll be easier on you so you feel better. You're almost there. Pat on the back. No, he keeps the bar this high and he says, I'll give you the ability to meet and exceed. Come on, somebody. So in our mind's eye, Jesus said, I'll send you the Holy Spirit, the helper, and he'll speak of me. John chapter 16, turn there, John 16:7. John 16:7, I alluded to this earlier. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. The term helper is properly translated counselor in the original text. And it's a very special meaning. It means a paraclete, somebody that comes alongside, which is a legal advocate, counsel, defense, and intercessor. Holy Spirit is always with us. The interaction of Holy Spirit in the throne room of God is the power behind every action Holy Spirit does in the life of the believer. It's a direct line to God's will and to God's throne room. We never have to question when Holy Spirit tells us. We don't have to test it. When we know it's Holy Spirit, how many know he's called the Spirit of Truth? I was taking a class on Holy Spirit in college years ago, and I was studying this whole thing about God's will and my will. And I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. It's worth telling. We were living in Texas, and I was in prayer, and God said, go home. Pennsylvania. So I had an old junk heap of a car. I said, God, this thing won't even make it to the outer limits of Dallas, let alone Pennsylvania. And I said, what am I going to do? And I was praying, and a friend of mine came and said, hey, Christmas is coming. I think you probably should go home. Why don't you take my car and go? Give me an almost brand new Subaru. So I packed the family, and we had enough to get there and had about $30 in cash when I got to Pennsylvania. Not even close enough to come back. Holy Spirit said, I told you to come, I'll take care of you. Come on, somebody. Told you to come, I'll take care of you. And we couldn't ask anybody for money. Went to Mom's house, and several times it was right here. Mom, could you loan me $100? I'll give it back to you. Would not let me. Went to mother-in-law's house. She wouldn't give me any money anyway, but at that time, she did not like me at all. But that's a long story, but I couldn't ask her. Then we went to our church the day before we were leaving. We were leaving the next morning on a Monday. This is Sunday morning. New pastor. Didn't know the pastor. The pastor that was there when I left was gone on the mission field. So I was on pins and needles. I had less than $30 in my pocket and a long way to get home. And Holy Spirit kept telling me, trust me, I've led you, I've guided you. Set through the sermon, which wasn't very good. My mind was everywhere else. I'm just being honest. And we were with another couple from another Bible college was home for the holidays as well. And so the service was getting ready to close. And he said, I'd like to pray for the two couples that are going back home. Come on up. And prayed prayer. Everybody stretched their hand, that kind of thing. And when he was done, he said this. He said, if I remember right, when I was on my way back to college, sometimes I didn't have enough money to get back home. Why would he say that? My jaw drops open. And he says, why don't you bless these people on the way out? And from the time I stepped off the platform till the time I got to the back, there were $300 I had in my pocket. Come on, someone. Come on, somebody. Spirit-led. We had enough for gas and food, had enough to bless the brother with a clean car, full tank, and I gave him some money as well. Felt pretty good about all that. Of course, $300 went a bit further than it does today. But we need to get to the place where we rely and trust on Holy Spirit. And Jesus gave us Holy Spirit so that we could be led and be guided by the Holy Spirit and have faith that He's going to get us there. Prior to this, prior to the filling of the Holy Spirit, the disciples forsook Christ at the cross. When resurrection day came, there wasn't one of them believed He was going to rise from the dead. Not one of them. The mother of Jesus and two of her friends went out to put spices on the body. They weren't expecting Him to raise from the dead. Why? Because they had a disconnect. Come on, somebody. The devil come lie to us and say we're not saved. Devil come lie to us and say God doesn't care. Devil come lie to us and said I'm going to kill you. It's a lie. Amen. It's a lie. God gave us Holy Spirit. You look at the life of the disciples before the day of Pentecost and after, they were two totally different people. Those that couldn't even stand in a dark garden and stand with Christ. Come on, somebody. First day they were arrested, what did they do? The angel set them free. They went right back preaching. Come on, someone. Why? Because Holy Spirit was given in a powerful way. The Holy Spirit not only gives to us, but works through us as believers. We love receiving, but how many know that's just the beginning? How many know God gives you things so that you can give out? Sea of Galilee and Dead Sea, the same water runs into the Sea of Galilee that runs into the Dead Sea. Sea of Galilee is one of the purest ocean or bodies of water on the planet. The Dead Sea is the worst on the planet. Why? Because one has an outlet and the other doesn't. Come on, Holy Spirit gives us. If you have your Bibles this morning, you're going to get your fingers calloused. Turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John 4, verse 10. Jesus, talking to the woman at the well, said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked and He would have given you living water. Verse 14 says, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. We know the gift of the Holy Spirit floods our heart. Holy Spirit is there actively involved in flooding us and filling us at every moment. All we need to do is ask. It's not something that's given out parcel. It doesn't mean that we get it today and we don't get it tomorrow. Holy Spirit's always faithful. When we ask Him to fill us, He does, because He's Holy Spirit. Whether we fill it or not, come on, somebody. The Holy Spirit is always filling us. Then turn over to John 7. John 7. I love how Jesus always gives us too much. He doesn't know when to stop. When we ask Him to fill us, He floods us. Come on, somebody. Overflowing grace, overflowing joy, overflowing wisdom, overflowing power. Why? Because this is not just for us. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day of that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Verse 39 says, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So what was Christ's promise? He promised that if you're thirsty, not only will I give you enough, but I'm going to pour out my Spirit so those that live near you and around you will be filled. Rivers of living water flow from us. We become pretty good at building dams. We become pretty good at hoarding Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit wants to speak through us many times. You've been in the same place. You've been someplace. Holy Spirit says, I want you to speak to that person. And all of a sudden you get embarrassed. I can't say that to that person. Go pray for that person. That's the living waters. Come on, someone. I can't do that. That's undignified. My daughter still remembers I used to take her shopping and I'd have her sitting in the cart. And I'd say, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. We have a direct connection through Holy Spirit to the Godhead. Jesus said, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Christ understood that there's no way that we could do it without the power of Spirit. Holy Spirit in us. First, he had to leave, and second, the Holy Spirit had to come. The Holy Spirit is a gracious gift from the Father because his plan for us is victory, not defeat. God doesn't get glory when we're defeated. He rescues us, but that's not his first plan. His first plan is that we are victorious. Thank God he rescues me. How many have ever gotten yourself into a pickle? I mean, you are finally come to your senses and say, God, how did I ever get here? And he cleans us up and sets us on the right path again. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. But this generation does not need miry clay Christians.
That's right.
This generation needs on the rock Christians.
Come on.
Those who know the will of God and do it. Those who know what the Holy Spirit is saying and do it. We don't need this mamby-pamby, fall down and get cleaned up. Thank God for that. And God will always do that because he's faithful. His grace is sufficient for me. But that's not God's first. God's first is to walk in victory. And it's available for every one of us. Come on, someone. Am I talking to the right people this morning? God, give us the strength to be able to walk in the promised victory. God gives, we receive. We don't question. God, I don't need that right now. God, why are you doing this? Our lives are not ours. They're his. Our ownership is gone. We don't own anything. We don't have any rights. Many privileges, no rights. Come on, somebody. Isn't it nice to be somebody in the know? Don't you like it when you get all the information? Especially when it's juicy information. You can't wait to tell somebody because you know something they don't. Come on. Now it's just seconds. I got to get on my phone and tell everybody. And you kind of feel bad when somebody said, yeah, I just heard that myself. Man, I wasn't quick enough. These young people with their thumbs, man, they got the fastest thumbs in the world. Have you ever seen them on the phone like this with their thumbs? I'm still poking with one finger. Receive what Jesus has for you. The disciples in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I've often thought what a wonderful place that would be. I would have loved to have been there. They had no idea what was about to happen. Changed their lives. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we'll talk about that in a minute. Acts chapter 8, verse 17. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Acts 9. Ananias went to Brother Saul and he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with Holy Spirit. Acts 10:45, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Are you seeing a pattern here? It was absolutely necessary to receive the Holy Ghost, even for those in Acts 19. Paul said, hey, have you heard of the Holy Spirit? And have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? They said, we didn't even hear about the Holy Spirit. We've been saved, but who is Holy Spirit? Acts 19:2, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. How many know what the agenda was that day? He laid hands on them and they received. It's absolutely imperative that we move in the power of the Spirit. Outside of that, we're going to lose. Outside of that, we're going to be... Many have been taken prisoner of war. Many are missing in action because they've not been Spirit-led and not told to be Spirit-led. We're in a day and hour when convenient Christianity has lost its taste. We can't be convenient Christians. We're in an inconvenient time. We're in a time when the whole world is gone. Am I the only one that sees the insanity? Come on. Who is running this insane asylum? Things are coming from the mics and the TV cameras. People are declaring the power of Satan with their own words. Celebrating. I don't know if you saw this week, Governor Cuomo in New York passed an abortion law. Babies can be aborted right up until birth. You don't have to be a licensed doctor to do it. And they celebrated. They celebrated it in the Senate chambers, the state Senate there in New York, and they lit the One World Trade Center. By the way, the World Trade Center is not the World Trade Center. It's called the One World Trade Center. That'll preach. And the pink spire, the spire on top was turned pink in celebration of women's freedom. Reproductive freedom, they're calling it. Absolutely necessary that we carry forth the power of the Spirit in the church. The church doesn't need to pray for the power. We have the power. We've received the Holy Spirit. Now rivers of living water need to flow from us. We've got a whole generation of young people that have no idea who Jesus is and the power of the Spirit. We looked in the book of Acts. Now let me share a few scriptures out of the epistles about Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, somebody say amen, amen, but the Spirit, capital S, who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Verse 22, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. 1 Thessalonians verse 4, chapter 4, verse 8. Therefore he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who also has given us his Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Holy Spirit's not an article. It's not a force. It's not a power. He's God. Holy Spirit is God that lives in us. 1 John 4, verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And God promised us. See, God promised us. Holy Spirit was in the plan of redemption. Holy Spirit was in the plan of victory. We sang victory this morning. Without the power of the Spirit, without being guided by the Spirit, is where we find most of the church today. We've been guided by the spirit of the world and not the Spirit of Christ. We've made stipulations. We've compromised God's Word to a place now we're found with egg on our face. You said I had freedom. I have freedom. It's my body. I'll do with it what I want. We never spoke the way it should have been spoken back in 1971 when this whole thing happened. I believe the blood of the unborn lays at the door of the church. We need to speak the word of God. We need to come against the power of the enemy that's allowed to run rampant throughout the world while we've partied and had fun in the church. It's time to speak the word of the Lord. You're not hearing me. The world told us to shut up and we said, okay. The world says, just shut your mouth and we won't charge you any taxes. You'll be tax exempt. Just keep your business out of our business and we'll keep our business out of yours. We said, okay. It's the worst thing ever happened. Oh, you can't say that because now it's a law. You can't speak against it. Our brothers and sisters just north of us in Canada can't speak against certain things. It's considered a felony. True stuff. Jail time. Because they refuse to speak when the time to speak is now. Before it happens here, we've got to get militant. Come on, somebody. You say, yeah, you get militant. We're behind you. Way behind you. Luke chapter 24, 49, you know, the Holy Spirit was a promise of the Father. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. How many know God was going to keep His promise? Acts 1, 4, and being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from me. And then Acts 2, 33 says, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, Peter preaching, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. And Peter said to them in verse 38, they said, what must we do, brethren? He said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Jesus was not asking us to receive anything that He didn't. Jesus on His earthly ministry did nothing without the Spirit of God. We can do nothing without the Spirit. Throughout the Scriptures, throughout the first 300 years of the church, we see the power of the Spirit moving the church, and then man took over. And we've had problems ever since. It's time to come back. It's an outpouring of Holy Spirit. I believe we're in that day. God promised He'd pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And I believe we're in that day. Acts 2:16 says, and it's 2:17, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Throughout the book of Acts, the Spirit was poured out on those that were being converted, and God wants to do that today. Many years prior to the actual occurrences we see in Acts, God promised. He said, I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. Those people had to wait generations before that came to pass. You and I have had to wait generations. But I believe He's getting ready to pour out His Spirit again on all flesh. It's not unlike God to wait till everything gets really bad. Come on, somebody. You look into Scriptures. I wonder if Daniel had any thought in the lion's den. This is bad. On the way to the lion's den, he's praying, kill the lions, kill the lions, kill the lions. Or even on the way, let them have another thought, another thought, another thought. And he got to the lion's den, he got in there and closed in with the lion's den. He goes, this is bad. But God loves impossible situations. And we're living in an impossible generation. Things that are happening now that if I started to say them, you'd say, of course, that's happening all over the place. 20 years ago, we'd have never thought that these things would be happening on our streets. Demons speaking through people. A demon possessed people in places of leadership. Come on, come on. Don't look at me like that. They're demon possessed. They sure don't look like the Gadarene demoniac. Holy Spirit was poured out on Jew and Gentile alike. and he baptizes us. For John truly baptized with water, Acts 1:5 says, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Being enveloped with the Holy Ghost. To be baptized in water means to be fully immersed, but the baptism in the Spirit can mean no less. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, today's your day. Holy Spirit wants to go from being, because when he's in your heart, he's in your heart. He comes with the whole package. But what he wants to do is take the throne of your heart. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit is to be immersed. All manner of wisdom is present because Holy Spirit tells us all that he hears from Christ. Jesus promised, he said, Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Somebody say, all truth. Not partial truth, not guessing truth, all truth. He will guide you, not push you, not force you. He'll guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit available to me at any time, any place. I could just connect with God and God says, here's what's happening. Holy Spirit says, here's what Jesus is saying. Wow. Man, that was quick. That was quicker than the superhighway. That was quicker than the internet. Before I even got typed into Google, God gave me the answer. Can you imagine? God's faster than Google. Last time I was in India, I was struck with everywhere I went, people had a phone. In the poorest village, they had phones on their phone. In India, everybody that calls on the name of the Lord can have a direct connection with Christ. The technology has been there for 2,000 years. Doesn't need cell towers. Doesn't need anybody telling you. Scripture says you have no need anyone teach you. Holy Spirit lives in you. And he wants to go from living to guiding, directing, being the principal in your life. He knows what he's doing. Led and guided by his Spirit. An internal experience. God telegraphed his punch thousands of years before the actual happening. John the Baptist said they would be filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. Tongues of fire appeared to display the filling with fire that occurred at the same time they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The fire of God is in you as well. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is exactly as it sounds. No room for anything else. No other gods, idols, or attractions. Your spirit man is filled to overflowing. And the wonderful thing about God is he doesn't only fill you once. He refills you time and time again. Because in this vessel, we leak. Come on, somebody. It's like a slow leak in a tire. The world comes against us. But he fills us all the time. Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is not only empowering. If you're taking notes, here's some things that God promised us. He causes the believer, that's you, to experience consistent victory. How many would like to have a string of victories that you could say, I'm consistently victorious? How many would like that? How many believe that's possible? Let's experience it. Let's experience victory because everybody loves a winner. Are you going to go through times of struggle? Yes. Are you going to go through times of warfare? You better believe it. God gave us it all, but there's a battle at all points. Because the enemy is not going to give up, but he's a defeated foe. He guides us into all truth. I love that word, all. Go through the New Testament and underline everywhere you see all. By the time you get done, fingers will be tired, but you'll be rejoicing. God never gives some, he gives all. He allows us access to the mind of Christ. Wow. Come on, somebody. And you don't even need to check it with Snopes. Come on, somebody. God tells you, you know the voice of God, when he tells you to do something, no matter how ridiculous it sounds, do it. He's got victory in mind. Many times I've said, oh, that's what you meant. I didn't do it because it didn't sound logical, but if I'd have done it, I'd have stayed out of a whole lot of trouble. He gives us the power to lay hands on the sick. I often say, Pastor, could you come? Somebody's sick. Could you lay hands on him? Are you there beside him? Yes. Lay hands on him. Bye. Come on, someone. You lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Oh, I can never do that. Yes, you can. The Holy Spirit's in you. He's speaking to you of Jesus. Jesus wants him healed. The Holy Spirit wants him healed. Lay hands on the sick. And he's given you power to cast out demons. Ooh, I would love. Can I just tell you, I would love to spend an hour with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi in a closed room. Come on, someone. I would love to get my hands on some of these people and cast the demons out. Yeah. We've got the power to cast out demons. We've got the power to lead others to Christ. If you're shy in any way, get with James. Go hang out with James. Go have a cup of coffee with James. I guarantee you, if it's any place where he's going to go, he's going to be talking to somebody about Christ. Lastly, the Holy Spirit makes all things possible. Impossible is not in my vocabulary. All things are possible to those who believe in Christ. Come on, somebody. Am I talking to the right people? Let me close just in, if I can find it real quick. If I can't, it wasn't God anyway. Book of Matthew. Oh boy, can't find it. We have life in us. Holy Spirit is life in us. We're not in any darkness. Come on, someone. If there's darkness, it means it's the enemy. You say, well, that's impossible. We can't know all these things. Yes, we can. Christ promised us through the power of the Spirit, he would tell us all things pertaining to us. We think sometimes we need to know everything about everything. No? Stay in your lane. We get information about other things that we have nothing to do with. We can't do it. No matter how many are our opinions, we're not going to change the way that's going. Stay in our lane. Hear what God's telling us to do. Amen? You know, people want to go after regional and territorial spirits, national spirits want to go against it. No, take care of the things that are attacking your life. We're trying to get these big hairy demons out of the way of Washington. And we can't have a regular devotional time. Quiet in here. We can't even pray together as husband and wife. We can't pray together. Come on. Tell me what a big Christian you are can't have devotions in your home. That's cutting off the power of the Spirit. How many know the power of the Spirit wants to be part and partial of our life every day? Next week we'll talk about the Holy Spirit functioning in the church. I want to pray for you. If you've not received the baptism in the Spirit, it's not rocket science. You come up, when we get done praying, you come up, I want to pray with you to receive the power of the Spirit and he'll change your life. If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I encourage you. One of the most powerful things Holy Spirit gives us is that little engine, praying in the Spirit. That means praying in the Spirit, not necessarily in tongues 24/7. You're praying in English as well, but you're praying Spirit-led in your prayers. And he made us ambidextrous. We can do things and pray at the same time. Come on, somebody. It's nice to get in your prayer closet, but we can pray all day, lifting holy hands to him. Father, thank you, Lord, for the guidance and the power of Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for the gift that you gave us in the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, we thank you for talking to us about Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you have made a direct line from your throne when what's happening in our lives, concerning our lives, is being told to us consistently and victoriously from your room, from your place to ours. God, you've housed yourself by the power of your Spirit in us. You live in us. You guide our footsteps. Father, wherever there's a mess, help us clean it up. Wherever there is questions, have them answered by the power of your Spirit. Father, we give you the glory and the praise this morning in all that we do.